Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Let's read God's word this morning. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I think we should read verse 15 together. That might help us. And verse 15, ready? And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. And so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we no longer do so. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Say that. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did in the first service. What you'll do now as we start this series, Compelled by Love, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and mark us, that your power would be released, and the gifts of the Spirit would flow in operation, that lives would be forever changed, that the effects of this service would be far-reaching even to eternity. I thank you, Lord, for those on 1610 AM. I thank you, Lord, for those listening on all of our social media platforms and those gathered here in this great church. We love you. We worship you. We'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message, Strong Church, Strong Nation. Strong Church, Strong Nation. The strength of the church will release strength to the nation. The nation is made of people. The nation is made of families. And if this church becomes strong, if families become strong in God, then the nation will become strong. Many people look to the White House to bring strength to the nation, although it certainly will affect our lives. It is the church that actually brings transformation to a nation. And I want to share with you some of our American history that is being blotted out by some. There is a man by the name of Marquis de Lafayette. Does anybody ever know who that is? He came, was powerfully used in the Revolution, the American Revolution. He was 19 years old and without combat experience when he arrived to America. 19. We've got 19s that are locked in their basement playing video games. He's 19 years old, and he was used by God as a commander. He convinced them to make them a commander in the army, and it's truly astounding. And he was asked one day what the greatness of the colonies, what the greatness of this budding new nation was. And he said, very simply, the greatness of the colonies is the churches. That was his answer. You won't hear that kind of history coming certainly from revisionists. Those are people who rewrite our nation's history, trying to. And so I stand along with those who in that day were called the Black Robe Regiment, those who stood proclaiming and declaring freedom in Christ. And there was a war cry in the early birthings of our nation called, No King But King Jesus. That was actually something that would say all the time, No King But King Jesus. Prior to the Revolutionary War, there was a great move of God that took place. And for those of you that know your history, 1730 to 1740, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's called the Great Awakening. The Great what? The Great Awakening. New England during that time saw, now these are, this is quite a spread, but 25,000 to 50,000 people were added to the church in a very short period of time. And preachers during that time were, there were these preachers called extemporaneous preaching. Extemporaneous preaching. There were men, there were women of God, people that were so impacted by the love of God that when they preached, it brought God's power. They open air preaching. They didn't have any microphones. We didn't have any cars. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have Snapchat. They didn't have Facebook, certainly, or YouTube. They didn't have any of those things. And in a very short period of time, 25 to 50,000 people. I know it's a big spread, but I mean 25,000 people coming to Christ in New England alone. And the word of God was sown into our country so much so that literally 2/3 of the speech of the people of that day was scripture. And you go and you read through documents that people are trying to hide or sweep under the carpet or say that they didn't exist. And you read those documents and you see it's packed full of scripture. Amen. I want to read this to you. The hand of God was on our country. I'm not saying those men were perfect. Of course they weren't. Neither are you. But God touched a group of people, touched a company of people, of believers, and they were used by the Lord to birth forth this nation that was supposed to be a city on the hill. There's no other country in the world that is like ours. It's unique. George Washington, General George Washington, here's an account of how the preservation of God was on George Washington. The year was 1770, Washington returned to the same Pennsylvania woods that he had fought earlier, this time on a peaceful surveying mission. One ancient leather-faced Indian chief heard that Washington was back in the area, and he traveled to meet him, explaining, "I've traveled long and weary path that I might see the young warrior of the great battle talking about the American Revolution." And over a council fire, the chief declared that he had been a leader with the French 15 years earlier, and then recounted the famous battle from his perspective. He explained that he had ordered his braves to single out the officers and shoot them down, and that Washington had been specifically targeted. The chief proudly announced that his own rifle had never been known to miss, but after personally firing at Washington 17 times without effect, he concluded that Washington was under the care of the Great Spirit. He therefore instructed his braves to stop firing at him and confessed to Washington that he had come to pay homage to a man in whom was a particular favorite of heaven who can never die in battle. It is said of another warrior, Red Hawk, another chief in battle, testified similarly, shooting 11 times at Washington without hitting him, and that his gun also never missed its mark, and he too ceased firing at him, likewise convinced that the Great Spirit had protected him. It's a picture of how the providence of an almighty God would cover over a person, cover over a company of people. Our nation was a powerful nation because the gospel was preached and declared. Our constitution is made from God's word, really formed by it. And I'm saying we're not perfect, but there is no other nation that has been formed on God's word like ours. Colonists valued highly their personal faith in Jesus. They were unashamed. It was churches that made this nation strong. Guess what's going to make our nation strong again? The church. Years ago, and I've shared this testimony before because it marked me. I mean, it really affected me. I was in a city called Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where my lovely wife was born. I got that right? I was going to say married, but I'm pretty sure we weren't married in Portsmouth. So she was born in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and we went back to visit and saw where her mother's family was raised, and we went to go get a cup of French roast, which is always in the will of God, and as we were drinking our coffee, We were across the street from a very large church. Beautiful, beautiful building. I mean, has anybody else like architecture? I love architecture. I love colonial architecture. I love salt boxes and that whole time period. And so I was looking at this church, this beautiful church. I'm like, man, that's a beautiful church. And then as I kept looking at it, I started seeing that, well, of course, the doors were closed. And not only were the doors closed, I started seeing on the steps of this incredible church, drug deals going on. It was in the inner city of Portsmouth. I saw a drug deal going on. I saw what I assumed to be a boyfriend and girlfriend arguing. I saw someone else just wandering around depressed. Saw somebody else that was strung out on, I think, what would be probably heroin. And I sat there and I'm like, man, what a picture. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is a picture of the church in America. The doors are closed. The doors are closed. And the people are broken on the outside, not even knowing that the answer is on the inside, if God's people would only stand up and proclaim it and declare it. I went to Google Earth this morning because I just wanted to see the building again. It was really on my heart. So I went to Google Earth. How many are going to Google Earth? I was out in space and it brought me right to Portsmouth in like 5 seconds. And right to the church. And I was looking at the church and I experienced the whole thing again. Do you know that on Google Earth, there was still a guy sitting on the steps? I still saw people on the steps that were, it's the same thing. Now, I know, well, Google Earth was maybe a couple years ago whenever they took the picture. So I thought, God, help that church. Help us, Lord. Help us to reach people. And I thought, I wonder what they're doing now. So I decided to go to their website. Are you down on them? Oh, yes, I am. And I'm down on every closed door, apathetic people that are not moved to reach the lost. It's his church. It's your church. I'm not here to criticize your body, but at the same time, I understand that he who wanders out of the way of understanding will rest in the congregation of the dead. And there is a church that has wandered out of the way of understanding. That's Proverbs. I don't ever want to be that. I want to be compelled by love. I want to be compelled by the love of God to touch nations, to touch people, to touch my neighbor. And so I went to their website and I thought, well, I wonder what's going on. And I, you know, biggest day is this phrase, be the church, stay at home, wash your hands. And I thought, what in God's name? I will tell you something you will never see said here, stay at home. Be the church, stay at home. Like, show me a scripture for that. We're supposed to invade the culture. We're supposed to lift up holy hands. And I got a scripture for that. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's James. The church has got to come alive. If we're going to see a strong nation, we have to have a strong church. And then a little, but before you just say, oh, the church needs to be strong. The church is made of people. You are the church. People, families, we're the church. Somebody said, you know, the church ought to feed the poor. Well, get working. It's like the church is some corporate thing out here. No, we are the church. A quote from the Heritage Center by Orion Messamore says, America is made up of communities and the moral authority of its churches and families is the key to its greatness. The key to the greatness of America is the church. It's the church. Let's look at this text, because this text today, as we start this new series, Compelled by Love, this text, the Apostle Paul defines what a Christian is, and I'm just going to take this from verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Christ's love moves us. Christ's love forces us, if you will, and moves us forward. We do things because we're moved by God to do it. You know, you came to church today, and some of you really had to overcome some stuff. You know, early on, Pastor Karen and I used to get in a fight every Sunday. And this might help some of you. So here's a little key. It was every Sunday. Every Sunday. Up until just like 6 months ago, I think. No, I'm kidding. It's been over a long time, thank God, because the Lord healed us. And so we made a rule. I mean, this is 20 years ago. We made a rule. And the rule was, okay, no talking on Sunday morning. And so literally we'd wake up and you start to feel like this strife. And you'd be like, oh, no, no, no talking. There's no talking on Sunday morning. Some of you need to make that rule. You can get healed and delivered of stuff. So we had a no talking rule. And so Pastor Karen was just walking around praying in the spirit. We put on worship. Occasionally we break the rule and get a little spat. And then Sunday before church, no talking. And I'm convinced it was like a special assignment from hell. But it was the love of Christ that caused us to shut our mouths and to just move forward in the plan of God. Come on, you came to church. I hope it's the love of God that brought you to church. You know, the love of God will move you to do things that you wouldn't want to normally do, that you wouldn't want to do in your flesh. And that's the way it should be. You're in church today because God's love compelled you to come. Paul's declaring what a Christian is, compelled by Christ's love, and that we should no longer live for ourselves. Look at verse 15. And he died for all, and that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Come on, say that. Those who live should no longer live. Yes, because we are selfish. But when you realize what Jesus has done, and you realize that if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that means you put your flesh down. And you serve. Why? Because of the love of God. No longer live for ourselves, but for him who died. Who should you live for? Him. You should live for him. Live for God. Verse 17, there were new creatures or new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. You see, Jesus was crucified for your sin and mine. And when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, when you believe in your heart and confess that Jesus was crucified for your sin. Have you ever lied before? Yes. You ever stolen? Uh-huh. You ever taken the Lord's name in vain? You know that's right. You ever lusted? Now, I personally have never done that, but maybe you have. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. I'm a pastor, for God's sake. What do you think? What you laughing at? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has missed the mark. Come on. And so Jesus was crucified and rose again for you and for me. And if you believe that and you confess and you ask him to forgive you and to come into your life, you will be made born again. You must be born again. You could go to church every day of the week and still split hell. You could have baptismal waters dripping off your face and still split hell wide open. I don't know whether you went to church, it's whether you're born again. Whether you're born again, whether you're born anew, whether you're made a new creation. He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. In a moment by receiving Jesus, all of your sin is washed away, thrown as far as the east is from the west, and you're given a new nature. He takes out the heart of stone, he puts in the heart of flesh. One of the challenges is we have in America is that's not even preached anymore. With all kinds of leadership lessons, and God knows we need strong leadership lessons. God knows we need good training. But if you miss the very centerpiece of Christianity, if Christ not be crucified, your faith is in vain, the Apostle Paul said, you must be born again. New creation. Everybody say, I'm brand new. And again, if you're not, we'll give you an opportunity here in just a moment to give your life to Jesus. The Apostle Paul goes on in verse 18 to define what our job or our calling, our purpose is. In verse 18, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself. To reconcile is to restore friend relations between two parties. In accounting, to reconcile accounts, you have income and expense, and you have to reconcile those, and they have to balance sheets. They have to be reconciled. He reconciled us. I mean, that's profound. He reconciled us. He took out the hostility. There's hostility between you and God unless you receive his son. If you don't, then you're spurning him. You're rejecting him. You must be born again. We're called not only to be those who bring reconciliation, ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, look at verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. Everybody say, Jesus doesn't count my sin against me. Ready? Jesus doesn't count my sin against. Yeah, if you've received him. If you haven't received him, your sin counts on you. You're in trouble. Let's have a praise break. I'm not feeling the love. Amen. Praise God, Pastor. Whoa. You know, these extemporaneous preachers, they preached with such power and conviction for hours. Hours. And when they said something, they said something, a real depth. We try to find a balance of tremendous depth of scripture and theology and then make it simple and break it down so you could be the very first time in this service or the very first time in the church and understand what I'm saying to you. Yet at the same time, maybe you've been going to church for decades, you'll get something new and go deeper in God. When they preached, sinners in the hand of an angry God, there was this one city, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was surrounded by revival in this one town. This one town had a stronghold and it just wouldn't break. And his name is Jonathan Edwards went to that town and they had a prayer team. He actually had preached a message at other places and it really didn't have all that much effect. But when he preached in that town on that day, sinners in the hand of an angry God, the conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit hit that place. And they said that literally there were nail marks in the pews from people listening because they were so afraid that the bottom of the church was going to open up and that hell was going to swallow them. So we said, well, thank God we don't have any preaching like that. I think actually that, but we could use a little bit more of that. I really do. I mean, you go read that message. It's just like, whoa, it's intense. I mean, really, he wasn't trying to tickle the ears that day nor any other day that he preached. I mean, these circuit riding preachers would wear out saddles. They preached so many times in one week. Where are the men and the women of God? Where are the people that are compelled by his love, compelled to go across the sea? Where is a generation that would leave all, forsaking all to follow him instead of, well, it's too hot in here? Where is that church? I believe that God's raising up a church like that. Because if there's no strong church, there's not going to be a strong nation. You can look to the White House to solve the problems. They ain't going to solve the problems. It's the church that's going to bring the power of God to communities, one family at a time, one person at a time, declaring his word, modeling it, living it. We're called to be Christ ambassadors. Look at verse 20. And many of you are, and I commend you for that, and I endeavor to be that too. We're called to be his ambassadors. I mean, think about what an ambassador is. What does an ambassador do? Represents the nation that they come from. You're supposed to represent heaven everywhere you go. I'm supposed to, gosh, we have fallen short. Oh, Lord, let's just repent. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for where I've fallen short. I wasn't a very good ambassador. Somebody cut you off and you gave them the single finger salute. That wasn't very ambassador of heaven-like. There's one message to be on. If there's one message to be on the lips of God's people, it's not leadership. It's you must be reconciled to God. That is the message. It's Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. That is the message. And if you, I'm all for great leadership. I'm all for messages on worship and all that. But if you miss that, you've missed it. I love great music. I love great worship. I love great leadership lessons. Pony rides. Cotton candy and hot dogs. But if you don't preach Jesus Christ crucified, what in God's name are you doing? And the truth is, it's not just to be pastors. It's to be all of us. This is to all of us. We are therefore, he's not saying pastors, he's not saying deacons, he's not saying board members, it's we, all of us are therefore Christ ambassador. Everybody say, come on, raise your right hand to God and say, I'm Christ ambassador. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's what the church is supposed to be. We implore you on Christ's behalf, oh my gosh, as though God were making his appeal through us. Think about that. I mean, think about what it took for God to send his only son as if God was making his appeal. Think about the passion. In fact, it's called the passion of Christ. Think about the passion and sheer commitment. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Let this cup pass from me. There's another way, Father. Figure it out, please. Nevertheless, he crucified, took the sin of the world. The Apostle Paul said, he said it to Galatians, am I again in birth pains until Christ is formed in you? What is that? Oh God, help us to see our role in history. Oh God, help us that the message of reconciliation would be on our lips and in our lives and lived out through our decisions. God, help us to rightly represent you. Help us to be strong. God, speaking to us very simply this morning, the church's people, as I said, and if the church is going to be strong, you're going to have to get strong. Listen, our Discover track and all the different things we do, you think we don't do that just because we need to just have another little group. It's so that you could become more like Jesus. It's so that you could grow big and strong. So that you could go big and strong in your life, in your finances, in your relationships, in your emotions. That you become more like Jesus so that you would understand who you are. Not tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine, but be people that are rooted and grounded in the word that can rightly divide scripture and declare the glory of God and bring a release of his power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You're the only Jesus some people will ever see. And so am I. Compelled by love. We're not here to build a building. Oh, we're building a building, but that's not why we're here. The Lord reminded me this morning, and I remind you, that we are here to reach the lost and to make disciples. That's why we're here. It's not about building a building. You say it's not? No, it's not. Unless you see the building as the kingdom of God, then that's what it would definitely be about. We're here to love God, to serve him, to love each other, to be a lover of God and a deliverer of men. We need the building. It's a tool. So we're going to build the building. But believe me, the building will be done and we'll move on to other buildings. If you think this is the last building we're building, you're wrong. You say, oh my gosh, that's too much for me to handle right there. Let's just love God with all that you are. Come on, be an ambassador, be a minister of reconciliation. Can you say yes? We cannot lose track of the purpose for why we're here, reaching the lost. Okay, so I did this in the first service. I'll do it now in the second. Guesstimate on how many people are here in the sanctuary. Whole sanctuary holds about 325, something like that, all right? Our new sanctuary holds over 1,500 people. Just a sanctuary. So if there's let's say I'm gonna give you a good guess. Let's say there's 275 adults, approximately, right here. Okay, so if every single person here reached one person, that would be 275 people reached. Is that right? Well, there's about the same in the first service. I'm gonna tell you. I want you to begin to believe. I want you to pray with me that God would help us to reach people. I want you to pray and challenge. If we were to take a survey to ask you how many here, don't raise your hand, please, because it'll be an embarrassment to me and perhaps to others. If you've never led anybody to Jesus, there's something seriously wrong with that. I'm still not feeling the love. I'm going over here this time. So, well, you just need to get discipled, and maybe you need to have a revelation of his love. You know, we were on the way back from Anchorage after dropping off Pastor Bruno Frigoli. What a joy it was to have him here over the past week. Powerful. And my son, who is used in our life in just these amazing prophetic ways, my daughter too. And he put on Christ for the Nations, like 1996 album. Now, what he didn't know is that Christ for the Nations all those years ago actually came to the church that we were at in Maui. And the concert, it wasn't a concert, it was a worship time that we had with them, was so impactful to me that I bought the CD and I think I wore it out. I think I played that thing so many times that the songs are just written on my heart. And many of the songs, it was just this incredible worship became my songs to God, where I would sing to God, you know, and about how I'm forsaking all, going for him and going to live for him. 1996, I didn't have two sticks to rub together. I didn't have two nickels. I mean, we had nothing but everything. We had the love of God. He had so touched us. And I remember in that, and we were broken. We were broken, Pastor Karen and I. We were broken those years ago. And I remember singing those songs going, God, just, oh, I'm just going to, I don't know about everything. Oh, I can't fix my life. God, but you can. I love you. I'm just going to love you with everything I got. And so as these songs are playing, I'm driving back from Anchorage. I can't help but just have it. I just had a high speed come apart in my heart. I mean, you know, like ugly cry face, you know, snot running. And it just made me fall more in love with God. I'm like, you heard all those prayers. You took us and we were just broken, broken people. And you healed us and you set us free and you put your spirit on the inside of us and you've given us peace. I mean, honestly, we laugh and giggle most of the time. There are some moments that doesn't happen. Weeping might endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I've learned the key to life. It's love God with all that's within you. And I'm finding that it's the love of God that comes. Why do you think we have so many services? You think we have a lot of services because we just want to run the staff into the ground? First of all, we're not running them into the ground. The reason we have a lot of services is because I desperately want you to understand the love of God and to experience his power and his word to transform your marriage, transform your family, to change your life, to change your finances, to change your heart so that you can experience what God's word says, so that you can be his ambassador. The world is longing for a church who would stand up strong in the power of his might, that would preach his word uncompromisingly. Not staying at home and washing your hands, for God's sake. A church should be alive. A church that's full of fire, imbibed with the very power of the Holy Spirit to go into the highways and byways as if God was making his case through us. You know why? Because God is making his case through you, through me, to reach the broken, to reach the hurting, to reach the lost. Do you have to get so excited about it? Yes! If you don't have a passion that wakes you up and moves your heart, you don't have much passion. If you don't have a passion that wipes sleep from your eyes to get you up to pray, you need to like check yourself before you wreck yourself. Passionless Christianity. I mean, it's like an oxymoron. It's a jumbo shrimp. There's no such thing. Christianity is supposed to be driven by the love of God, consumed by his love. What else would cause people to go into the far-flung corners of the world? What would do that? Something bigger than their own self-preservation. Something bigger than the amount of likers. Who gives a fig about who likes your post and who doesn't? Please God, and it'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. A strong church will make a strong nation. That's what we need. Never forget who we are. We're ambassadors. Come on, say it. We're what? We're ambassadors. You must never forget the job that we have to do, and it's reach the lost. I am challenging you, as I challenged the first service, and you'll hear this over and over, then in the next 4 months, so September, October, November, December, I believe that if each and every one of us could reach just one, we could grow by 500. Now, it's far beyond that. There's far beyond that, but I believe that we could grow by 500 people. What will you do with them all? We'll figure it out. We'll have other services. When? I don't know. I'm praying about all that. But would you be willing to maybe relocate instead of be at a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to make room for people? We have no room. Do you know that this morning we had people leaving the parking lot? They come in, they can't find parking, they're leaving. Some of you need a lesson in parking because you take up two spots. But they pull in, they can't find it, they leave. That happens every week. It happens every week. In the 9 o'clock, it happens in the 11 o'clock. It happens in the midweek. That's why we need this new facility to reach more people. Would you be willing? Just ask yourself, you don't have to shout yes or no or whatever. Would you be willing to relocate the time when you go to church to make more room for people in another service? We're going to reach 500 people in the next 4 months. 500 people that are not here that would come and stay. Now, we might have to reach 1,000 to hit 500. I don't know. But would you challenge yourself to be compelled by God's love to reach the people? Say, that makes me really uncomfortable. Well, God didn't just say he's going to make you comfortable. Some of the greatest things we've ever seen have happened out of being amazingly uncomfortable and moving forward and just obeying. And if you don't know the love of God that moves you like that, then you just need to grow in Christ. You just haven't tasted maybe and seen. Religion will wear you out, but the love of Christ will compel you, will move you to change your life and transform your mind. We're so selfish at times. A strong church will influence the world, will influence the nation. So what's the answer to the unrest? People getting delivered and set on fire, becoming real ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation. All the yelling, all the fighting, all the burning, all the looting is not going to bring a transformed nation. Jesus Christ crucified, and then you crucifying your own sin nature and walking in the love and the power and the blessing of God, teaching others to do that will change the country. You repenting for your own racism instead of pointing the finger at somebody else, that will change the country. A strong church will make a strong nation. We have to reach the world. Each one reach one. I'll end up preaching it, but I want you to say that. Each one reach one. Would you challenge yourself? I give you a challenge today to reach just one person in the next 4 months. Do you think you could maybe? You think you could? I think we can. Why would you do that? Because there's so much distraction and so much that we lose sight of why we're here. We're here to reach the lost. That's why we're here. Pray for people. Everybody say, pray for people. Here's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go. My own wisdom is completely insufficient for the day. God answered the prayers of the great emancipator, and God will answer yours. He wants you to become strong in the power of his might. Avail yourself to learn the word and get in these systems and these programs we have so you can become big and strong. And when you're big and strong, then your family will be big and strong. And when your family's big and strong, the community will be big and strong in God. And when communities come together, they're strong in God. A nation will turn back to God. Oh, how God longs to meet with you, to talk with you, to comfort you. Oh, how God longs to impart to you in that quiet time that you never have. It's time for the church to get strong. The prayers of God's people have more power than any earthly weapon. He will one day split the eastern sky. And we're given here at this time to be his ambassadors. A friend of mine shared a story just recently. He found out that a friend of his son is no longer coming to church and is lost in some drug house. And he found the address and he went there by himself, which I rebuked him for. Don't ever go by yourself, always go two by two. Nevertheless, he went. And in seeing the lives of people destroyed all over that place, begin to weep. They don't know. People don't know that there is a God who's on the throne, who's defeated hell, death, and the grave. They don't know about the love of God. The people, listen, are longing to experience God's love. And God's messengers are us. It's us. Will you say yes? Will you see if perhaps God will use the likes of you, your social media, your prayers to reach just one? Just one. In 4 months. Just one. It's 100,000 people in the valley. I've done this before, but how many people, 100,000 people from Talkeetna to Chugach? I'm going to talk about the whole state. I'm just talking about our valley. How many of those people actually think go to church? Listen, I'm just going to be ridiculously generous and say 50,000. Now, you know full well it's not 50,000 people going to church. That I can't, that's way exaggerating. I can't do it. Let's say, I don't know. Let's say 30. You think 30,000 people go to church on a regular basis and live for Jesus in the valley? Absolutely, positively, no way. Would you agree with that? I mean, I could just start counting churches, you know, 500 here, 400 here, 300, 1,000, 1,500. Start counting, and then count all the churches where maybe people are just fulfilling religious obligation, and I hope that God breaks in with truth and power there. And some of you start adding up all those. I mean, add up all the churches and figure it out. You think there's 30,000 people? I want to make sure that, you know, I mean, just to make the point. Okay, let's say it's 40,000 people go to church. Well, I know it's not that. So 40 from 100, Pastor Karen? Thank you. 60,000 people who are going to hell. Not on my watch. No, sir. No, ma'am. How are you going to reach them? I have no idea. I have no idea, only that I know that I know what it is to be separated from him. I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to have no hope. I know what that's like. And despair even of life. God in his infinite mercy in my life has broken it with truth so many years ago. People interceding, people reaching out and loving on me and helping me and inviting me. I'm challenging you in the next 4 months. Bring somebody to church, lead somebody to Jesus, invite them. Say, what if they don't stay? That's not up to you. If their weave comes off when they come in or they get freaked out, that's not up to you. There's many different kinds of churches. We're not for everybody. Thank God for the body of Christ. But will you do your part? Will you be an ambassador? Will you be a minister of reconciliation? Will you? Because if you're a Christian, that's what you do. That's what that says. See, well, I haven't been doing that. Well, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Share your faith with others. Compelled by love. Strong church. Strong nation. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. I see streams of people coming. I see multitudes of people coming. Hallelujah. Won't you let the Holy Spirit just touch you right now? Mark us with your love, Lord. With your love. Holy Spirit, right now. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Mark us tonight.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way.
Come on, make it your prayer, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. We need you now. We need you now.
Our nation needs you.
We need you now.
Our families need you, God.
Have your way. We need you now.
We need you, Lord.
We need you now. We need you now. Have your way. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way,
Lord God.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way.
Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.